Bibles. I had this message prepared and ready for last Sunday and didn't get the opportunity to preach it. And so as I began to think and pray about what this morning, it seemed like the Lord just said, go ahead and preach this. And so if you'll find a place in Ezekiel chapter number 16, Ezekiel chapter number 16, and I want to give you some thoughts out of this chapter, give you some things by way of introduction. And my introduction is longer than my message this morning, but I think that we need to see what we need to see so we can understand what we need to understand. And hopefully that'll make sense in a minute. But if you're in Ezekiel chapter 16 and you'd like to stand, I'll encourage you to do that. And for the sake of time, we'll read the first six verses together. And then you leave your Bible open and we'll return to the text throughout the morning message. Ezekiel chapter number 16, verse number 1. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity in the land of Canaan, thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supply thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Father, help us this morning, we pray. Use us as we try to preach. Lord, allow us to paint this picture so we might be able to see this truth that you have for us today. Encourage us in your word is our prayer in Jesus' name. And amen, you can be seated. If you have read through your Bibles more than once, you know that when we come to the writing of Ezekiel, the main theme of not only the writing of Ezekiel, but the Bible at this time is the rebellion of Israel and the judgment of Babylon. From almost the beginning of the nation's existence, the story of Israel is one of great triumph and great tragedy. With the help of God, Israel did some terrific things, and in rebellion against God, they did some terrible things. And the sin of the nation is seen throughout much of the Old Testament, but when you come to the middle of the Old Testament, through the end of the Old Testament, it is really put on spotlight. And that is what Ezekiel is doing here. Verse number 1 begins by saying, the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel. In verse 2, it says, Show Israel her abominations. This is her sin. This nation has been warned by one prophet after another about their rebellion, about the judgment of God, and about coming to a place of repentance. Now, allow me to park right here just long enough to say two things very quickly. Allow me to say this first of all. God provides for us these stories of the rebellion of Israel and the judgment of Israel so that you and I, by seeing their example, might not make the same mistakes that they made. God is trying to teach us a lesson. This is more than the history of the nation of Israel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, talking about Israel, he said, Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. You see, it would be a lot easier for you and a lot easier for me to learn from the example of others rather than make these same mistakes ourselves and face the judgment that they faced. Can I ask you a question? Let me ask you a question right here. Why is it that we are so often so hard-headed that we have to make the mistake on our own and suffer the consequence on our own when we could clearly see in others' lives that certain things bring certain judgment and just say, I saw what it did to them. I'm not going that way. I don't know why that is.
Why is it that we have to touch the hot thing and put our finger in the electric socket of sin ourselves? Why can't we just see it hurt somebody else? I don't want to face that same judgment. You see, God gives us biblical examples. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I was God, I probably would have left some embarrassing things out of my Bible. These people that I loved and I bought and I birthed and I made them my very own and they rebelled against me, I probably wouldn't want to tell those stories. But God tells us those stories so that we don't make the same mistakes. Allow me to say this secondly, that you and I, when we read things like this, when we see the abomination of the nation of Israel, see the mistakes of Bible characters, we should consider ourselves before we judge these people too harshly. You know, we read stories about like the night that Peter denied the Lord three times, and we say, oh my, I would never do, well, how in the world could he? But then we get out into the workplace and somebody's telling a dirty joke, and instead of walking away and standing our ground, we stand there and kind of giggle along with them. Amen? That's right. We oftentimes should consider ourselves before we judge these people too quickly. You know, I was praying about a week and a half ago. I had to go to Spring City to do a measurement for a job. And if you don't know where Spring City is, it's not quite the end of the world, but you can see it from there. And so I'm going this hour and a half drive to Spring City to measure this job. And I'm meditating and I'm thinking and I'm praying. And the Holy Spirit brings something to my mind that I have prayed about before, that I have asked forgiveness about before. And God said, we're still dealing with this thing, big boy. And I had to ask God all over again to forgive me and to help me and to strengthen me. You say, oh, it must have been a big, terrible sin. It's probably not even a sin that would be big enough to be a blip on your radar. But me and God have dealt with it once or twice or a dozen times. And God said, we're still working on this thing. Oh, we ought to consider ourselves before we judge somebody else. Because the reality is that there are things that you do and you have done, you have even asked forgiveness for and then did it again, that if this church knew about it, you would be ashamed of it. Amen? Oh, that's right. That's just the way it is. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And then he said in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this condemnation? You see, we struggle with things. Therefore, when we come to a passage of Scripture like this, we must do two things. We must first of all say, oh me, because we consider ourselves. And then once we say, oh me, we should ask the Lord to forgive us and help us and move on from that so that we don't face similar condemnation. We doing all right this morning? Well, all of that brings us to our text. Ezekiel paints for us a very vivid picture of the rebellion of Israel. But not only does he give us a vivid picture of the rebellion of the nation, he gives us a vivid picture of the nation in their past, in the present, and in their future. And he shows us an amazing story of the love of God. In fact, it is one of the most beautiful, one of the most striking pictures of God's love in the entire Word of God. It is startling to see how much God loved them. And then when we see their rebellion in contrast to that, it is even more startling to see how that they could walk away from Him. This morning I want to show you this great picture of God's love. And after I show you God's picture of love, I will then give you my 4 points and we'll be out of here. I want to preach this morning on this thought, leaving a loving God. Leaving a loving God. By way of introduction, let me show you three pictures in chapter number 16. First of all, there is a picture of a baby. There is a picture of a baby. Look at verse number 3. Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, that's Abraham, and thy mother a Hittite, that's Sarah. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, so we're seeing a baby born here. He's talking about them in their infancy. You were a baby. He said, when you were a baby, you were just born. He said, your navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. God begins by giving us the picture of the birth of the Israelite nation. God describes them here as being a newborn baby in verse 3, 4, and 5. But notice the description of the baby here. God describes this nation as a child that has been abandoned at birth and left to die. You and I, every once in a while, I thought about this. We don't read about it as much as we used to because of the rising popularity of abortion clinics. People just kill their babies now before they're born, and that's another message for another Sunday. But we used to hear stories a lot about mothers that would give birth to children that they did not want. And so they would put them in a trash can or leave them in a room somewhere or abandon them in somebody's doorstep. They would take that baby, that innocent child, and they would abandon it and just leave it somewhere to die. And we would see those stories or read those stories, and we would think to ourselves, my, how could somebody do something that cruel to an innocent child? But you see, that is the way that God is describing the nation now in chapter number 16. He is saying that when they were born, their parents did not care about them at all. Israel was an unwanted child. Their parents treated them inhumanely at their birth. In fact, when God finds them, I believe it is in verse number 5 or verse number 6, verse 6, He said, when I found you, you were in an open field. You were just left in that field to die. Your umbilical cord hadn't been cut. They hadn't washed the blood off of you from the process of giving birth. Nobody wrapped you up in a blanket. Nobody swaddled you. Nobody cared about you. You were left in a field, abandoned to die. He said, but I passed by your way, and when I saw you, I had pity on you. And he said twice to them, I said unto you, live. God gave them life. Now, I think that the picture is pretty clear. But in case it's not, allow me to show you what he's doing here. You and I can see a picture of our story in the story of the nation of Israel. This is a picture of the way that God found Israel, and it is a picture of the way that God found you and me. Do you understand that when you were born into this world, you were born into the family of sin? You realize that, don't you? The Bible said, I believe it was David that said, in sin did my mother conceive me. It was Job that said, man is born of a woman a few days and full of troubles. You were born into this family, into the family of sin. And when you were born, the family of sin left you bloody and beaten. It left you abandoned and hopeless. It left you destitute, without any future. That family did not care about you. It did not love you. It left you in a terrible place. Sin is awful. Sin is wicked. And sin brought us to a terrible place in our life. Do you remember where you were when God found you? Do you remember the mess that you were in when God found you? Do you remember the awful shape that the family of sin had put you in? You were in an awful place. You were headed to an awful place. There was just awfulness all around. But one day or one night, in the middle of the mess that you were in, God come by that open field, and He saw you in your mess, and He had compassion, and He had love. And with tender mercy, He spoke this word to you. He said, live. And God gave you new life that day. The Apostle Peter said it this way, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It was almost like God gave you new life that day, was it not? Do you know why it was like that? Because He did. John chapter 3, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. God found you in your mess, and He gave you life. Amen. Aren't you glad for the day that He found you? Amen. So I see a picture of a baby. There's this abandoned child. God said, I saw you in your mess, and I had compassion on you. But not only do I see a picture of a baby, I see a picture of a bride. Verse number 7. He said, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. And when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and cover thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. In the first picture of the baby, we see the nation of Israel, and He talks to them about their mother and their father, Abraham and Sarah, when God found them and birthed the nation. But you all know that the nation of Israel did not stay Abraham and Sarah, did it? The nation of Israel grew to full-grown maturity. He said in verse number 7, you came to excellent ornaments. That phrase, excellent ornaments, means you grew up. You came to full-grown maturity. We know that Abraham and Sarah eventually turned into Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. And Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons, and their sons had sons. And when we leave them in Genesis, they're a little bitty family in Egypt. But when we find them in Exodus, they are a full-blown nation. Do you know what happened between Genesis and Exodus? They grew up and become a full-grown woman. That's exactly what He's talking about here. You grew up and became a full-grown woman. But He said, I passed by you one more time, and there was a problem. You was full-grown, but you was naked, and you was bare. Do you remember the story of the Exodus? God finds them and He passes by their way. They are in slavery. They are in judgment. They are in trouble. The Egyptians are persecuting them, killing their children, bringing judgment upon them. You could say they were naked and bare, but you know what God did? In compassion, one more time, He comes by their way. He loves them. He has compassion on them, and He delivers them from the mess that they are in. And this is what He said. He said, when I found you all grown up, I made you mine. I made you my bride. Think about this. I'm thankful that God passed by my way, aren't you? But aren't you glad that sometimes God passes by more than once? Aren't you glad for that? There was some of you that if you didn't get in the first time He come by your way, you wouldn't have got in. Because you told Him no and you pushed Him away. But aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost of God come by your way the second time and said, I've not forgot about you. And maybe He had to come by the third time and say, hey, I'm still here. I've not forgot about you. And aren't you glad that God come by your way one more time, because it just took one more time for you to get into the family of God. I'm glad He come by more than one. But you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the fact that after He birthed me into His family, He did not stop coming by my way. Because even after I have been saved, there have been times I have found myself in a mess. I have found myself spiritually naked and bare. And God has come by where I was at, and He had compassion on me, and He helped me one more time. I'm glad that God didn't just come by once and leave me, but He's come by over and over and over again, and He's helped me more than I could explain. More than I could tell. God has come by and He's rescued me on more than one occasion. Amen. Oh yes. He said, I come by, I saw you, I had compassion on you, and I made you my bride. Now here's something interesting. This is not my message, but I'll give it to you in passing. In Bible days, it was customary when a man and a woman entered into an engagement and a marriage relationship, it was customary that the father of the bride pay a dowry to the young man that was going to marry his daughter. He paid a price to that young man for him to take his daughter and to marry her. I've got teenagers now. There are days I could understand why you would pay somebody to take them off your... I should not have. That's a terrible illustration. I'm going to come over here for a minute. But y'all just think about this with me. They were to pay a price. But do you remember when God found you? When God made you His bride, you didn't have anything to offer Him. You couldn't have paid the dowry. You couldn't have paid the price. And so you know what God did? God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pay the price. Hey, I was in debt. I was in debt to sin. Oh, the old songwriter got it right. I owed a debt I could not pay, and it was growing every day. But aren't you glad God come by and He said, I know you can't pay to enter into this relationship, so I'll pay the price for you because I want to make you mine. Amen. Oh, I see a picture of a baby. I see a picture of a bride. I see a picture of a blessing. Number three, as I get to my message, I see a picture of a blessing. Oh, God delivered them out of Egypt, took them up on Sinai, made a marriage covenant with them, and He started to bless them. If you read Ezekiel chapter number 16, verse 11 through 14, He'll say, I washed you with water. I anointed you with oil. I clothed you with fine linen and silk. I decked you in jewelry. I put a crown on your head. I caused your renown to spread among the other nations. God said, I not only birthed you and I not only made you my bride, but He said, I started giving you some of my blessings. Hey, on February 23rd, 1993, God birthed me into His family. He took me as His bride. And one day, according to Revelation 19, I will be married to Him. And between now and then, you know what He's been doing? He has been giving me one blessing after another blessing. God has been doing things for me that I do not deserve. Oh, yeah. God's washed us and made us clean. He's put us in fine linen. He's put a crown on our head. He's given us a royal city to dwell in one day with streets of gold and walls of jasper. God has been good to you and God has been good to me. Amen. Oh yeah, the psalm writer got it right in Psalms 103 when he said, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Then he started naming some of them. He said, who forgetteth all thine iniquities? He forgave you of your sins. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God has blessed us. Okay. So, God birthed us. He found us helpless and hopeless. He gave us new life. You remember that, don't you? He made us His bride. Paul said, I have espoused you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. He made us His bride. There's a wedding. It's almost like sometimes you can hear the bells, the wedding march, ringing in the distance. It won't be long before they're saying, here comes the bride. And every day, day by day, He gives us blessings. God gives us good things. But when we come to verse number 15, the Scripture takes a strange turn. When we come to verse number 15, God claims that the nation has turned its back on Him. The great God that came to them in love, made them His own, and gave them blessings, was abandoned by the one that He loved so very much. Now, I've got a question for you. How could someone who has experienced such love leave the one that loved them like this? How could you and I, maybe I should say it this way, how could you and I, after receiving the love of God, turn our backs on Him? Well, I believe there's a few things that we need to see. I believe that they left the one that loved them. Number one, here's my points. Number one, they left the Lord because they forgot their salvation. They forgot their salvation. Look at verse number 22. And in all thy abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. Look at verse 43. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. The reason that this nation had backslid on the Lord is because they forgot where He brought them from. Do you know one of the grave dangers of the Sunday morning Christian? One of the grave dangers is that we forget where we were at when God found us. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God forgives us. And God moves on from our past, and we should forgive us and move on from our past. You understand that, right? In fact, if you don't forgive you and you don't move on from some things, you will be a weak, handicapped Christian all the days of your life. But at the same time, while we should forgive ourselves and move on, it would do good every once in a while for you to roll back the curtain of memory in your mind and remember where you was. Remember what kind of mess you were in when God found you, because it'll give you a sense of gratitude anew and afresh when you remember where God found you. Oh, this isn't my message, but sometimes people come into our congregation and they have made mistakes and they have tripped and fallen. And we look down our spiritual noses at them and we give them the cold shoulder and treat them like second-class citizens. You ought to consider you before you're so harsh on somebody else. Thank God somebody didn't treat you like that, or you wouldn't be sitting where you're sitting doing what you're doing. Amen. But do you know what would be good for us every once in a while? He said, you are where you are, Israel, because you forgot the days of your youth. It would do us good to remember where God brought us from. Oh, when we think about where we were then and where we are now, it should cause us to love God all over again, want to serve God all over again. It should cause us to take a second breath and be willing to go another mile. How could we ever quit when we have our salvation fresh in our mind? Oh, yeah. We forget where He brought us from. We forget all the blessings. In fact, I think we just kind of get used to the blessings. We just kind of get used to having food in the cabinet and in the refrigerator. We just kind of get used to the cars running fine and the job being okay. And then when God kicks one of those props out from underneath us, we think our world has collapsed. We realize then how much we really were blessed. Shouldn't we instead remember the blessings of God and live thankful lives? God said, you forgot about some things. And because you have forgot about some things, it has caused you to drift away from the one that loved you. Oh, now watch this. Not only did they forget about their salvation, but they fooled around with sin. They fooled around with sin in verse number 15. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playedst the harlot because of thy renown, and pouredst out thy fornication on every one that passed by. His it was. Because of their forgetfulness, they began to assume that God's blessings would always be upon them. And what they did is they began to forsake the big G God and fool around with the little g gods. Well, I'll just always have those blessings. I'll just always have God's mercy in my life. And they forgot about the one that loved them and started fooling around with the things of this world. Do I dare say that there have been some men and women that have come into our churches, been saved? God said to them, live. He brought them out of the mess that they were in. He gave them new life. He put His blessings upon them. And everything went good in their life for a while. And then just little by little, they started fooling around with some stuff. They begin to, in their mind, say things like this: well, maybe that thing's not as bad as I always thought it was. Because that's the way it always starts. You know, I used to think that that was wrong and that was sin, but, you know, maybe that's not that big of a deal. And I don't know what the thing is that you're dealing with, but you know what the thing is, and your thing's probably different than my thing, but we all have a thing. Maybe that's not as big of a deal as I thought it was. Maybe I shouldn't sweat about that too much. Maybe I shouldn't worry about that too much. You know, they do it and they seem to be okay. And we start just little by little fooling around with some things. And it's not long before we start from just some little things to some bigger things, to where He said of the nation of Israel, He said, you've played the harlot. He said, you have completely forsaken me. They forgot about some things. Forgot about some blessings. And when they forgot about some things, they started fooling around with some things. What is it that you're fooling around with? Awful quiet in here this morning, but that's okay. Look right here. There's one person that don't bother, and that's me. Sometimes people need to think. Sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to sow seeds, and it's hard to do that sometimes when the wind's blowing. You remember where He found you? Don't forget that. Don't forget where He found you. What is it that you're fooling around with? Maybe you're playing with it in your mind. It won't hurt me if I watch that. It won't hurt me if I drink that, if I take that, if I smoke that. Yeah. It won't hurt me if I leave that, if I talk to that, if I do... whatever your that is. You see, here's the terrible part about it. They forgot their salvation. Then they fooled around with sin. But after they forgot some things and they fooled around with some things, they forfeited some things. You know what they did? They forfeited their standing. God said, there was a time when I put my crown on you. I clothed you in fine linen. I let your renown spread. I gave you all these blessings. But when they forgot how little they really were when He found them, and they started fooling around with those other gods, He said, you built high places on every street. He said, everybody that passed by, you gave them your love. And you can understand, you adults, you know what that means. He said, everybody that passed by, you gave them your attention. He said, now here's what's going to happen. Verse number 39, he said, I'm going to take some things away from you. He said, I'll break down your high places. I will strip also thy clothes. I will take thy fair jewels. I will leave you naked and bare. They stopped depending on God. Started fooling around with the world because they thought it would be okay. And before they realized it, they found themselves in just as bad of a place as they were the day He found them for the very first time. Do you know that there are Christians today, and I really believe this, I believe that there are Christians today that are living miserable lives. You say, do you really believe, preacher, that you can get out into sin and get out into the world after you've been saved? I really do. I really do. There are people today living miserable lives. And do you know why they're living miserable lives? Because they started fooling around with things they shouldn't have fooled around with, and God began to take those blessings back that they just assumed would always be there. In our Sunday school lesson, Brother James was dealing with the story of the prodigal son at the end of the lesson. And that story of the prodigal son is such a good illustration of what I'm talking about. That boy, now you look at it however you want to, but that boy, I think I can safely say, was a son of the Father before he ever left for the far country. I think in that we can see a picture of a saved individual. He was in the family, but he walked away from the family. You know why he forgot some things? He forgot how good daddy was. And it took the hog pen for him to remember how good daddy was. And he assumed that substance he would get would take him the rest of his life. He wanted that instead of the Father's house. And you know what happened when he got down there into the world that he thought he could fool around with? He come to a place he never imagined he would come to. And all the blessings were gone. And all the friends were gone. And the only thing he had left was a guilty conscience and a hungry belly. Because that's where sin leaves you. Sin leaves you guilty and empty. And with a guilty conscience and a hungry belly, he looked around and said, oh my, I remember the blessings of the Father's house. How many of my Father's servants have bread enough to and to spare, and I die with hunger? There are Christians today in the hog pen of this world, and I promise you, they may never admit it, but there's something running through the back of their mind that says, I remember how it was when I was at the Father's house. I remember those blessings. And you are here this morning, and you are in the Father's house. But I am here today to say, if you start forgetting and you start fooling around with some things, I promise you, you are no better and you are no stronger than the ones that used to sit on these pews but aren't here today. And you forget and you fool around, and it won't be long before you start forfeiting some blessings. It could be you. It could be your family. It could be your children. It could be your marriage. It could be your livelihood. It could be you in the hog pen next. You sit here today. You sit here today. Spiritually clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Victorious crown upon your head, the victory that was won for you at Calvary. You sit here today under the blessings of God. But it just takes a few decisions for you to forfeit everything that you've got today. But let me show you this, and I'm going to close. Number four, they found a second chance. Verse number 60 through verse number 63, God said, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. He talks about how they're going to remember their ways, verse 61. They're going to be ashamed, verse number 61. The last portion of our text is very prophetic. It speaks of the future blessings of Israel. When God makes them a nation again, they return to the Lord in latter days. But I want you to see this. God tells them that if they will remember and they will repent, He will bring back His blessings upon them. He says this. He said, I will bring again your captivity. That means I'll give you your blessings back. Amen. Aren't you glad that even when we're not faithful, God is faithful? Amen. Aren't you glad that even when we're forgetful, He doesn't forget? He said, I'll remember those covenants. Amen. Aren't you glad that when we turn our back on God, God never turns His back on us? And here's what God says. God says, if you'll remember, He keeps coming back to that memory. He said, if you'll remember, if you'll be ashamed, that's repentance. If you'll remember and you'll be ashamed, He said, I'll give you my blessings again. There are some of you that are here this morning, and you could probably say, preacher, I'm glad because maybe I'm the one that after I was saved, I drifted off and drifted into this world. But I'm so thankful that I forgot about God, but He never forgot about me. Amen. And God offered me mercy and God offered me forgiveness when I come back to Him. And He gave me His blessings again. That prodigal son got home. He remembered the father's house. He was ashamed of what he did. And when he got back home, you know what dad did? Started giving him blessings again. Amen. Get that fatted calf. Get the ring. Get the robe. Put them shoes on his feet. Now let me say these two things. Let me say these two things to close. Ask you two questions. Let me ask you this. Number one, have you strayed away from the Lord? Have you strayed away from the Lord? God's not as important to you today as He used to be. Now let me ask you this, number two. Do you sense a straying away from the Lord in your heart? Maybe you've not gone that way. Maybe you've not done the thing that you keep thinking about. You've not gone there yet. You've not done it yet. And I don't want you to raise your hand, but in your heart, you would say, yeah, preacher, that's me. I've thought about some things. I've never gone to the far country physically, but I've been there in my mind a time or two. Maybe this morning you want to come and you want to rededicate some things to God, remember some things, repent of some things before it's too late and you find yourself in the hog pen. I tell you what, let's do. Let's close our eyes. Let's just pray for a minute. Brother Scott, just get a verse of Just As I Am, 81, I think it is. Wonder if there's somebody who wants to come pray. You say, well, Lord, I couldn't come pray after a message like that. Nobody know what I've done. Your relationship with God is bigger than what everybody else thinks about you. I wouldn't want to face the judgment, forfeit the blessings because of the fanfare of the brethren. I promise you the brethren ain't worth it. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. If you need to come, you come. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody you sense going that direction. If you need to come, you come. Go ahead, Brother Scott.